002, okay, Titan Salvados. Probably finish, hopefully we'll finish tonight Shaar Avodas Hashem, and we'll continue next week with Shaar Yichud HaMaisa. That's the one after Shaar HaBitachon. Unless there's a great demand for something else, which I doubt. Just a feeling. Just a hunch. What?
Shall I be talking again?
You don't know which way my talking goes. Kufchafalov. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant something else. If there's a demand for it, from, you know, and a Hanami will do that. Okay, page Kufchafalov, three lines from the bottom. He's going to a different Nidos. When you pull them out of your hat, when you use them, when you use, right, you're in control. As we said the last few weeks, the same Hagdoma. You're in control, you choose when to use it. Nothing should be above you, nothing should be below you. It's not a question of good and bad, really. Even though we'll constantly find references to Midos Ros, Midos Tovos. I don't know. It's, you could say, I mean, you know, you talk about bad events and good events. So there's certainly such a thing as bad. Everything is ultimately the taiva. We talk about bad things happening, right? We pray refa'enu. We don't pray that Hashem should do what he wants. It's not true. Whoever says that is lying. Pray for refa'enu. We don't want to be sick. We know it's not good to be sick. We know it's good to be well. Sometimes it's good to be sick. If you have an avera and you need a kapara. Sometimes Hashem wants you to be sick because he wants to stop you from going someplace or from doing something. So, kol my David rachmono kujabrich l'tav avid. But we know that Hashem structured a world in which sick is bad. That could safely be said. Sick is bad and healthy is good. Poor is bad and rich is good. There's no mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol to be poor. It's for the Kohen Gadol to be rich. Nor, like Tebbi said, it's no shame to be poor. It's not always bad to be poor. Oh, there's a good purpose in it. But there's certainly a thing called bad and good. Hashem structured the world that way. Now, I'm not sure if the Rishonim always talk about Midos Ros. Stinginess is a Midah Ra. Gaiva is a Midah Ra. Kas is a Midah Ra. Azus is a Midah Ra. All these Midos. So you say, also you could say the same thing. Sure, there's Midos Ros and Midos Tovos, but you could always use a Midah Ra in the appropriate time and use it as a weapon and do good with it. You could say that. But I'll tell you the truth, the Chodesh Alvodos is not mashma like that. The whole lead up to this perek, which was the whole story of the Midos being a person's avodim, doesn't sound like it to me. To me it sounds like the Chodesh Alvodos really would say that there really is no such thing, even on a basic definitional level, of a Midah Ra. But now I'm thinking, I don't know how you can say that. We certainly say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mahu Rachum, Mafator Rachum, Mahu Chanun, Afator Rachum. We don't say, Mahu Achzori Al Rishoyim, Afator Tehei Achzori Al Rishoyim. We don't say that. There's such a thing as Midos Tovos. What?
Don't we say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, we
should
have?
No, but you don't find, you're not going to find anywhere in Chazal the Lachta Bedrachov, Mahu Achzori Al Rishoyim. There's Midos Tovos that we're supposed to emulate Hashem. It's true. Haloim Sanecha Hashem Esno Viskomemecha Eskotot. Certainly. But it's not, that's a different Nakuda. That's not a Midah Tova. But Al Kaponim, I don't know. But the way the Chavis Al Vodas talks, what do you say?
I said Kalim Kos Hashem. What? Hashem's name is around the tongue.
Yeah, but that's exactly my point. But yet you won't find in the list of halachta bedrocha of mahu no came, afatot tehe no came, when appropriate. You won't find that. So that's my point. So, on the other hand, I'll say the whole buildup of the Chayis Halvav is about the Midos being your avodim, and this perek, to me, does sound like they're all equal. It's equal. There's no such thing as a midorah, midotova. It's all things that you utilize when it's called for. Okay.
If a person has the ability to show it on his emotions, on his midos,
yeah,
then it can argue that then there is no qualitatively good and bad, because he's been told.
Well, that's my point. But Rishonim always do talk about midos tovos and midos roles.
A person who's an angry person is definitely bad. The concept of anger in and of itself is not an evil thing. It's, in other words, if you could grab grab that anger, so you could definitely use it.
Yeah, but if the Rambam starts off kas, he mean the raw.
Person who's an angry person. In other words, if it overcomes you, then it's never good.
If Rachmanus overcomes you, it's also not good. I don't know. Let's leave it at this. Let's go back. Let's finish up, or else I'll have to eat my words. The Chavis Halvav is certainly the way the Chavis Halvav describes what midos are, and the way he talks in this perek. To me, it indeed sounds like, even on the level, like we say, it's bad to be sick and it's good to be well. But I call my dovid Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'tavod, and that's no stira. But by midos, to me, it sounds not like that. It sounds like this taka, no such thing. We can't really, the only thing, maybe we can call something a midorah, if 90% of the time, so it might mean it just in the statistical sense. We can call something a midorah if 90% of the time it shouldn't be used, and only 10% of the time it should be used. So that's what we label as a midorah, and we label as a midotova, something that 90% of the time should be used, etc. Let's go back to, although to me, again, when you talk about the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're supposed to emulate, there is some sort of objective, inherent goodness to certain midos. Right? Well, something to think about. Let's go right to it. The kach midos ha-gaiba v'ha-nova. So the three lines from the bottom of page Kuf Chafalet, the same with gaiva and anova. Mokoma gaiva v'agavos. When should you be about gaiva? He's not talking about Azus now. Azus was to do battle, to fight. Here he's Pasha talking about a sense of self-importance. You shouldn't feel nichna to Rishonim. You should be proud to be a Jew. You should be proud to be from. You should be proud whatever you feel that your lifestyle is called for. You should be proud of it. You shouldn't back down by people who look down on it. You should walk around with a sense of pride and gavhus. You shouldn't, again, with who? And if gashti im hakofrim b'shem, the hasot and midrach of people who are doing bad, doesn't mean people who are not living the way you're living. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in being pogesh with osei ra. So then altin hagi ba'anova. Now's not the time to, right? You meet up with certain people who. So now's not the time to take a back seat and be humble and be nichna and submissive. Alti kani lifnehem. Now's not the time to be submissive, because what ultimately will happen is penye roy. It'll look like shat matznika osam. You're giving koach to the rishon. It looks like you're justifying what they're doing. Umechabedes to say him on if sados. Ella rather shachrari as midas hagavus. The hagaiva hamorim al hepech daitam. That negates what they are. That opposes what they do. The choser etzon chabahem. And it shows that you're not part of them. You don't want anything to do with them. That you look down on them. That you are superior to them. That's the time. You should walk around with a feeling of superiority. Shloa sani goy, you should feel superior. You feel superior to the goy. Feel superior to apikurism. Feel superior to osei ra. And it'll make a difference how you carry yourself, how you act. And and the male, and if you don't do that, he says, you're inevitably going to give koach to the osei risha. Again, he's not talking about someone who's not living the lifestyle that you're living. He's talking about someone who's doing ra. And he gives a very interesting example. Kamo shiyadata mi parshas Mordechai v'Haman. So what's the pshat in that? So I suspect, I'm saying a pshat, I don't know, I suspect it's the pasuk that says v'loikom v'loizomi menu. He's not talking about that Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachve. Either it was asur, or technically it was mutter, but he didn't want to do it anyway. That's a sugi in Sanhedrin and a taisus. That's already pilpul. But when he gives Mordechai as an example of what he's talking about, so I was thinking, you know, there's a pasuk in the Megillah that says kerois Mordechai is homon v'loikom v'loizomi menu. He wasn't Geirusin. you could not bow down to someone and he wasn't Geirusin. You know, that's a Meridika. That's powerful. This guy's walking around and everybody's bowing down to him, and you're not even not bowing down to him. You're just not Geirusin. That's like Kumbalay Zombie Manu. He's just oblivious. Him. He doesn't exist. He's not part of his radar screen. He's not good. That's the lesson we use. So that's a gavva. That's real gavva, right? If someone talks to you like you know, sometimes you ignore them. Like, they're not even there for you to ignore. But that's how you should act to always say risha. That's how you have to act. Amolek. That's how you have to act to such people. Okay, umokom shimer shanova. And when do you use humility? So he's talking. So then you could say always, but when you should work on it and make and pull it out and make sure that it's a lifestyle is kasher tifkishi, when you meet good people, people that you could learn from, that people that know what they're doing. People that are older, wiser, more experienced, you should look at them better people than you, and then you should humble yourself to them and see that you have what to learn from them, and don't feel superior to them, and you know either they don't have what to teach you or it doesn't pass for you to learn from them. Kasher tifkashi, when you meet ish chesed bar leiv of yirei Hashem or the odeya sifro at Talmud Chacham, the holech b'mishmato, someone to yirei Shemayim. Umisha hate, that's one category of people. And then another category of people that you should act ba'anova towards is umisha hate tivloch. Someone who you feel akoras hatov to. Chavodas talked about that earlier in the Shara Avodas Hashem, that akoras hatov primarily comes from, the source of your feeling when you mak it tov to someone is that you're humbled. You're an onov. You're humbled. You feel you owe him. You feel totally in him. You feel dependent on him. You feel like you have to pay him back. You feel inferior to him. You feel like you have to do something back to him. This could be parents. It could be a rebbe. It could be anyone that you mak it tov to. So that's how you should be feeling, and that's your feeling of another. Mi sheitav loch v'neschasei dimoch shechayevus at legomlo aleihem. The feeling of an obligation to repay a tova, the hakoras hatov, which according to the Chayvus Halvavus, hakoras hatov creates a sense of obligation, and that's where avodas Hashem, appropriately enough, we're learning about, comes from. That sense of obligation. So that comes from anova, because a person who feels entitled, a person who feels superior, won't feel a sense of obligation to someone who did him or does him a taiva. He'll feel, it's coming to me, I deserve it, he should be doing me a taiva, he should be doing things for me, it's coming to me, or who else should he do things for if not for me? He's a very lucky person that he's able to do things for me. So that's where that comes from. So, but the sense of obligation, hakoras hatov, according to the Chayvus Halavos, is obligation to repay. So that comes from anova. So if someone does things for you, you should whip out the midah anava in order to engender the proper feelings where Hakaras HaTov is supposed to lead you. The Kal V'chomer, and of course Kal V'chomer to the Eibush, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misha Godlo V'otzmo Tovoso, Mechidei, more than you can ever repay him. Mechidei Shetigmali Lo Aleh, more than you can ever repay. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly, our main focus of Hachno'a, of submissiveness and of Anova, should be focused towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we can never repay it, that we're just obligated and obligated and obligated for every moment of life, and there's no way we can ever repay him for that. V'kach, so that's two categories of situations which call for Anova. One is people you could learn from, and the second is people that you have to be makir tov to. And then there's a third situation, v'chein be'esi pora Hashem imech. When things are looking down for you, and you feel that Hashem is taking out His wrath on you, Hashem is pouring out His wrath on you, so you can feel that life is unfair, you can feel that how come the other guy is not happening too, he's much worse than you are. You can feel Hashem doesn't understand that you're an oinus and all this He wants from you, and you're doing your best. Or you could feel humbled. You can feel that indeed there's a message being sent. And so that's K'moy Shama, the Pasuk says, that's what the Torah says by the Toichacha. Oz yikona levavam ha'orel v'oz yirtzu es avonam. That's the Rambam. When things happen, you shouldn't be an achzari, you shouldn't harden yourself and be uncaring and unfeeling, or feel, again, a sense of injustice is being done. But that's where humbleness comes in. You feel small, you feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and for sure, He's just, and you deserve it. So that's your anova. You deserve the bear that's happening to you. So that will be another fruitful exhibition of anivus, of anova. Okay, so that's three situations where you should use the midah of anova. Should always work on it, but to use it, shimush anova. Maybe that's the pshat. Maybe this whole parak was talking about when you're supposed to use the midos, but there's something. But then you are a certain way intrinsically, so that's midos tovos, but it doesn't sound like it because he says all the midos are just avodim that you're always supposed to just use. It sounds like you're not supposed to be any sort of way. It's just supposed to use the midos. Okay, v'kach midos avod asina, love and hate. Very mokam ahava tia l'mishu amisach v'mishmas l'ashem. Who should you love? Someone that's helping you and is your partner and is that you work together with Avodas Hashem. Someone that brings out the best in you. That's the person you should like. That's the person that does the most for you. Person that encourages you in Avodas Hashem. That enables you, encourages you, allows you, teaches you. Something that's going to make you happy. That's the true Tov, and that's the person that you're going to be ohev. Someone that's with you in the ultimate avoda. And who should you hate? You should hate basically people who are trying to turn you away from Hashem. People who are trying to prevent you from fulfilling your avodas Hashem, prevent you from fulfilling your duties to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'misha himras etzon Hashem, yisnagev lam anshei lo emes, u'moshach osach, and is trying to ensnare you, l'mashemachis es Hashem olayich. K'moy she'omar oizvei toiri yahalulu rasha, v'shoimrei toiri yisgaru bom. So that's, you have no business loving or being mahalel oyzvei Torah, adarabba yuzgorubam. That's sinah. You should shepherd them. You should make their lives miserable. You should hate them.
Well, this person has nothing to do with you. But in the first sense, why the second sense doesn't apply. Right? He's him wrote the Surah Ratzon Hashem, but he's not Moshe Chosov.
But he's moshech somebody, I would
right.
imagine.
Right.
So then, and the chanami. With love, dafka, you.
love only has a place in the Baruch Hashem, a person who has no other sense of love in relationships other than people who are in the ultimate devotion.
You know, when he started off the perek, when he started off the perek, his first two were simcha, happiness, and sadness. So he said the only, so there also he went to an extreme. He said happiness is really, you should only be happy about something that leads you to Tolam Haba, and you should only be sad about something that messes you up from your quest of Olam Haba. So the we said that's laboratory conditions. That's pure ahava should be.
You should look at your wife, someone you love, because she's an enabler of reach, getting close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yep. In other words, you love your child because through
him. Well, wife is a different. Wife is a category of its own because a person should look at himself and his wife as really chad gufa, right? So okay, so we'll put that aside because that's really like one person.
So why do you love yourself? It's the same question.
What?
You love yourself only because you help yourself do a bit of shen. You naturally love yourself.
I don't know. No, I don't know if a person loves himself. A person has. I think you're thinking of the sense of self-preservation that everyone has. I don't think people love themselves necessarily. I think most people are pretty unhappy with themselves. They love themselves, they care about themselves. We're not talking about love. They care, you don't want to get hurt, you want to be survive, you want to be healthy. That's not love. What's love? I don't know. I thought about it for years. Talked about it for hours and hours in Eishet Torah once. What's love? I actually came out with a maskana, which I don't remember. And don't tell me it's giving. That's not what it is. You want to be one with the other person. I think that's what you want to bond with the other person. You want to be part of their lives. You want to be. That's love. You want to mesh with them. Okay. So again, it's like you're right. It's two extremes. There could be a lot in the middle. Someone that does other good things for you, besides the Avodas Hashem. But it's like with Simcha, he's talking, this is the ultimate, and this is what you have to strive for. Nothing else should be that meaningful to you.
The mitzvah has to be open. Does that mean that you have to see every person as, in other words, how you should, I guess the question is, how you should relate to those.
Okay, that's a good question. And I think the answer is that, if you look at the Chavetz Chaim, he says the way to fulfill v'yavta lo'echa kamocha. Now he's talking about the way, but it's not just a trick. It's really its inner meaning. V'yavta lo'echa kamocha means that you look at all of Klal Yisrael as one unit, right? One neshama, one large neshama. Rather, this week's parsha, right? Kol ha'nefesh haba Yaakov, right? Shivim nefesh, and you just. All part of one enterprise. Now, which enterprise is Klal Yisrael part of? Avodas Hashem. That's the enterprise we're all part of. And that's indeed where V'yavta lo'echa kamocha comes from. So the Chavetz Chaim is not just telling you a trick how to do it, but he's really defining why should it be that way? Why should I have the V'yavta lo'echa kamocha? Why? Why? So he answers it because we're all part of this enterprise, and we're all partners, and we're all in the same boat, and we're all on the same ship, and we're just different avorim in one large guf, right? That's the marshal we give. One person's the rosh, and one person's the lab, one person's the yod, one person's the regel. So certainly there's a love connecting all those avorim. They all feel obligated to each other. They all feel connected to one another. So attacker comes from that. There's no other, otherwise it would be an irrational, like Xeris HaKosov sort of. It would just be a touchy-feely kind of thing. Hashem wants everybody, like that starts, why can't we just all love one another? Why can't we all get along, he said. Why can't we just all get along? V'kach midus hanadivus v'kilius, stinginess and generosity. And Emokam hanadivus, he does a very interesting thing. He says, well, generosity, he says, first of all, he talks about being generous in money, being generous in Torah, wanting to share with others what you have. So look how he starts off. He starts off saying, hanochas kol dover b'mekomo. It comes from a sense of appropriateness, like it's appropriate for that other person to be knowledgeable in Torah. Like it makes sense, so you want to help them attain that. Unasinus kol bal mailo, and now you want to give to each person imzu chokhma o momen. Generosity comes from, like, a person is deserving of something or should have something or it's appropriate for him to have it. It makes sense for him to have it. And he doesn't have it. So with your generosity, you're having him obtain what's very appropriate for him to have. That's how he describes generosity, whether it's chachma or moment, fishu roilo. And he quotes Shlomo HaMelech. Al timna tov ba'alov biyos lekel yodcho lasos. If you could provide him with something, to don't withhold it from him. The Amar yafutsu minus echa chutza. It's appropriate for him to have it. Avomokom akilius. When should you be stingy? You should be stingy and withhold things from people who don't appreciate their worth and will just misuse what you do for them, or they won't understand it, so it'll just like fly over their head. It's like you give a diamond to a kid. Don't do that. He's just going to play with it like you play with a rock. If you teach Torah to Talmidim who are just not holding there, so then it's a waste, and it cheapens the matana. It's like it cheapens the diamond. Think of giving a diamond to a kid who's going to play with it because he thinks it's a marble. You're not being generous. That's the time to be stingy. You're not going to give something to someone who doesn't appreciate or understand its value. So now again, I don't think he means never teach Torah to someone unless they totally like are holding already on your madrega. He doesn't mean that. But certainly you should teach them what's appropriate on their madrega. That's what he's saying. That's why when he was describing generosity, he was saying, make sure it's appropriate. That's how he started off. That was his first words when he described generosity. It should be something that's appropriate to the situation, appropriate to the person, appropriate to the time. But be stingy if the person has no shaykhus with it, if he doesn't understand it, he doesn't appreciate it, he's not holding there. So what's wrong? You're cheapening what it is. You're just going to end up being resentful and upset, and then it cheapens it. Really, it shows a lack of erech if you just give it to someone who doesn't know what it is. They're not holding, they don't understand the value, they don't appreciate, they don't understand the value. Uberech hatovo aleihem, ka'omro, yoser leitz lokeach lo kolon, umochiach lo rosha mumo. Vamru kadmoneno aleihem ashalom, koloisa toiv l'mishena makiro, ki luzoik evel l'markulis. That's the famous avodah zara, you throw a rock at it. So it's a misuse, and it just ends up, it ends up doing bad things. Because again, I said it feeds resentment. He might take this matoni you're giving him and totally misuse it. If he doesn't appreciate what it's worth, he doesn't understand it, so he'll end up using it for bad purposes, for his own purposes. The kachmitas l'atzlus vazrizus in a mokom hashimush atzlus, when you should be lazy, when you betayvus habamios asher hano osam kolam and odom. So be lazy. You want to get up and you have to get up and enjoy yourself. So stay in bed better. Better stay in bed than do things that are just to feed your taivas behemios. Avu mokom azrizus harebone garuchni uvemaisim shemekavim behem rotzon Hashem yisale. K'mo shomer achosel olav shalom chashki v'lo hismamoti l'shmor mitzvah secha. That's when you should be a zaris. V'yesh b'mesher hiskariti b'shar zed daila misherotzol achshir atzmo uvikesh aso emes l'shmo v'chobek v'chochmo k'shal atzmo yanchenu Hashem v'yischo l'man sheyesh bo mishmat teburachmo. Okay.